And my sense is, as I was preparing for this morning, that there's kind of this convergence, if I can put it that way. Like, if you ever been to Pittsburgh before, right? And you know that the that got your attention, Violet, didn't it? I saw her head, you know, jerk. Yeah, I've been to Pittsburgh. If you've ever been to Pittsburgh, you know that I believe it's the Allegheny River and the Monongahela come together. They converge to form the Ohio River then, right? And I just feel like the two messages that we've heard the past two Sundays, remember Pastor Van 2 weeks ago preached on dreams, and last week Pastor Steve preached on a faith that is active and does something, doesn't just sit, and that Jesus is the name above all names. Those two ideas, I feel like they're converging into what God wants to release this morning. Amen? And I really feel like this is a now word for us. Amen? You know what I mean when I say a now word? Like, think of the Apostle Paul, and he's on the ship to Rome, right? And they come across this horrific storm. And the crew is trying everything frantically, and nothing's working. And finally, they just give up. And then Paul speaks up, right? And he has a now word for them. And he says, everyone's going to live. The only thing we're going to lose is the ship, because an angel of the Lord stood by me tonight and said, you have to go to Rome. You have to go before Caesar. And all that are with you will be saved. How many of you know that was a now word that Paul was giving, right? And their time was of the utmost importance with that, right? You don't sit on a now word and say, oh, yeah, a week from now, you know, we'll engage in that. No. It was urgent. It was dire. It was a crisis. It was an emergency. And Paul said, this is a now word for us now. He said, now you're going to have to run the ship aground. We're going to lose the ship. We're going to lose the ship, but all of our lives are going to be saved because the Lord gave me a now word. Well, I feel like this convergence of what I'm talking about this morning with dreams and Jesus' name above all names and faith is a convergence and is a now word for us.
Hallelujah.
Amen. We want to look at Caleb eventually. Remember, Caleb was one of the two spies sent out with all the 12 whenever Israel was about to possess the, or seemingly was about to possess the promised land. Hey, Tanya. The first time, he was one of the two that came back with a positive report, remember? But the 10 had what? A negative report. Caleb was ready to go in and possess his inheritance right now because the Lord had said, I'm giving you this land. Go in and possess it. I'm with you. And Caleb was like, I'm all in. Let's do it. And Joshua right alongside him. They were ready to go in and possess it. But the 10 with the negative report swayed the hearts of the people, right? And it said their hearts melted. And because of fear and unbelief, they weren't able to go in and possess the thing that God was promising to them. The thing that he said, I'm giving you this. And a long period of time passed in Caleb's life. That's where we want to get to eventually, but we want to look at a few things first before we get there. I do just want to reiterate a passage that Pastor Steve shared last week out of Ephesians. And I think you read the passage out of Philippians earlier this morning about the name above all names. And I think Pastor Steve shared that passage as well, but he also shared out of Ephesians. And I just want to look at it real quick out of Ephesians 1. Again, this is that whole idea that Jesus is the name above all names.
Amen.
Amen? Yes. Name above all names. Name above cancer. Name above diabetes. Name above lack. Name above fear. Brokenness. I mean, we could go on all day. Name above, fill in the blank. Jesus' name is above that name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow and every tongue confess that he's Lord of all to the glory of God. Well, that's Philippians. In Ephesians 1, we'll just kind of jump in. This is actually a prayer that the Apostle Paul is praying for the believers in Ephesus, in this church. We'll jump in at verse 19. It says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power, of God's power, toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power?" Okay, God's mighty power, which he, God, worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Here it is, verse 21. "Far above all principality and power and might and dominion," and here it is, "and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet." Is there anything above the name of Jesus? No. He's above all. He's above sickness. He's above disease. Right? He's above all of that. And we have access to that as his sons and daughters. As kingdom people, we have access to that. Amen? And the things that he's spoken to our hearts, the sometimes seemingly impossible things that we think we could never do, Jesus is above that. And he can break chains off of us that would otherwise prevent us from walking in that promise. And he can enable us to walk in what seems to be impossible to us, right? Israel, there's giants in the land. There's fortified cities in there. We seem like grasshoppers in their sight. And we could come up with 100 more excuses why we can't go in and possess what you said we could have, God. His name is above all that. His name is above giants. His name is above fortified cities. His name is what above how you see yourself wrongly. We were grasshoppers in their sight. No, you're not. You're a child of God. And his name is above all name. His name is in your heart. Amen? You are definitely in his heart. Those nail prints in his hand were for you and for me. Amen? And Jesus is the name above all names. So I just wanted to remind us of that, of what Pastor Steve had shared with us last week. And let's just think of that and think of dreams as well. What are the dreams that God has given you? What is the promise that he gave to you? He told Israel, "I'm going to give you this land. It's your inheritance," right? What are the things that he's spoken to you? What's the word he's given you? What's the promise he's given you? This morning I'm going to talk a lot and use the term dreams. What's the dream that he's given you? He gave Israel a dream to go in and possess the promised land. What dream has he given you? So again, we want to end up with Caleb, but let's start with Joseph. And Joseph is a very familiar figure in the Bible to us. We talk about Joseph on a regular basis, but just to kind of remind ourselves, the Lord gave Joseph this amazing dream when he was probably like a teenage boy. I'm guessing like maybe around 17 or so, right? And when he received this dream, Joseph was a little excited about it, right? Because it was pretty amazing. And he understood from the dream that God was calling him to a great leadership position. And in his excitement, maybe even in some arrogance, he shares this dream with his family, remember? And how did his family react? They were a little less than enthusiastic. Wouldn't you say? They were a little put off by it, truth be told. And like, who do you think you are, you know? And so, of course, it goes from there. Joseph was the favorite son of his father, and his brothers despised him because of that, and they threw him in a pit. And from the pit, he was sold into slavery. From there, from that caravan, he served in Potiphar's house. And he advanced there, and he was kind of running things there until Potiphar's wife falsely accused him, and he went from Potiphar's house to prison, you know, just when things seem to be like they're getting better, and maybe I'm headed towards that dream that God gave me how many years ago, roadblock. You know, do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Go directly to jail. And that's where Joseph landed, right? And but even in jail, the Lord's with him. And I believe that Joseph continues to walk in this relationship with God. We see him flowing in his administrative gifts. And before too long, he's kind of running things in the jail, right? And then these servants from Pharaoh come, and they have these dreams, remember? And he interprets the dreams. He's flowing in his giftings, right? So there's still a connection between he and God. Now, by now, the dream is way far in the rearview mirror, right? I mean, it's been years. And in that time, Joseph has some decisions to make about what he's going to do with the dream that God gave him back in his teenage years. What am I going to do with that dream? Has it been too long and God can't do it at this point? Has time passed me by? And I guess it was the pizza I had the night before, and that really wasn't from the Lord. Or is he so discouraged that he just wants to put it on the shelf and forget about it and say, well, I guess I just missed it. Or he could have had 100 other reactions, right? Over 13 years, especially during those 20s, those years in the 20s, you know, where we think we're invincible and we want everything now, like we had the dream last night, and we want God to fulfill it today or at least by the end of the week, right? I think with age, we get a little more better perspective and we're a little more patient maybe, and we learn to wait a little bit better. Some of us do. Some of us don't. I don't know. But the point is, God gave Joseph this amazing dream, and all this time has passed. And what is Joseph going to choose to do with the dream? And I believe it was at least on the back burner with Joseph. You know? All that time passes, all those things happen. Maybe it's not as front and center as it was when he was still in his father's house, right? But he's still in relationship with God. He's still flowing in his strengths, his giftings, right? And it's still on his radar screen, I believe. And then, of course, we know that Pharaoh has a dream. And the servant says, hey, that's right. I remember this guy that I was in prison with. He interpreted my dream, and it came to pass. I bet he could interpret your dream. And in a very short period of time, he goes from the jailhouse to the White House, you might say, right? He goes from prison to second in command, only to Pharaoh, just like that. And God manifests the dream in Joseph's life, just like that. Because he's the name above all names. Was it ever in question in God's mind that he could do this? No. He spoke the world into existence. He can't put his son in this position where he will eventually, oh, by the way, save two nations, save Egypt and save Israel. I mean, this was divine that God placed him in power. Otherwise, I don't know, all bets are off. I don't know what happens at that point. Maybe both are just wiped out, right? Was it ever a question in God's mind that he could put Joseph in that position? Was it ever a question in God's mind that he could fulfill the dream that he gave that young man all those years ago? It was never a question. It was never in doubt. The only thing that might have been in doubt was, is Joseph going to choose to participate with God? Right? That's maybe the only thing that was in doubt. But from God's perspective, from his point of view, what he was responsible to do, never in doubt. I gave you this dream, Joseph, for a purpose. I want you to save two nations. And when the time's right, I'm going to manifest that dream in your life. Amen? Let's think about somebody like Moses. I'm going to turn to Exodus chapter 2. In in chapter 2 of Exodus, I'm going to start at verse 11. And it says, "Now it came to pass in those days, when Moses was grown, that he went out to his brethren and looked at their burdens. And he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. So he looked this way and that way, and when he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. When he went out the second day, behold, two Hebrew men were fighting. And he said to the one who did the wrong, 'Why are you striking your companion? Then he said, "Who made you a prince and a judge over us? Do you intend to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?" So Moses feared and said, "Surely this thing is known." And when Pharaoh heard this matter, he sought to kill Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. So remember Moses. We've all seen the VeggieTales episodes, right? Where this Hebrew woman gives birth to a baby, and Pharaoh had ordered that all baby boys be killed, be executed. And she hides him, right? And the Egyptian daughter of Pharaoh finds him, and he's raised in Pharaoh's house, this Hebrew that should have been killed, should have been executed at birth. But God had a plan. God had a destiny for him. And I believe God gave him a dream over time as well. And I think we see the stirrings of that now. Remember? He was like a trust fund baby, we might say. Right? Wealth, resources, lived in a palace, extravagant lifestyle, right? Anything he wanted was his. But he understood that he was a Hebrew. And he understood that he lived in a system that was evil in Egypt. Because Hebrews were oppressed. Hebrews were effectively slaves to the Egyptians, right? And they were treated badly. And something started to stir in Moses along the lines of, this is a grave injustice. This isn't right. This isn't the heart of God. And I believe we can look at Jesus himself. Remember when Jesus overturned the tables in the temple? Why? Because the money changers were ripping people off. There was injustice that was going on in God's, what should have been his house of prayer. And that injustice angered Jesus, didn't it? He did something about it. He didn't just sit idly by and let it go on. He wrecked house, right? He overturned the tables. He pushed them out, right? He drove them out because of injustice. He said, "You've made my father's house a den of thieves." And I think something like that is starting to brew inside of Moses as well. Because he lives in this society, he lives in this culture where there's this blatant injustice that's going on with regard to his Hebrew brothers and sisters. And he sees this Egyptian beating this Hebrew. And it hits a boiling point in Moses. And he can't stand by anymore and not do anything. Now, he has seen this probably played out how many times in his life previous? But there's something that's brewing. There's something that's developing in Moses. And he says, "I can't stand by this time. I have to do something about it." And he ends up killing the Egyptian. Right? Of course, then he leaves Egypt, and a long period of time goes by. But do you think that still stuck with him? I think so. My brothers and sisters are still back in Egypt, and they're still living in an evil system. They're still living and bearing the brunt of injustice that the Egyptians dole out every day. I don't know that that ever left him. And of course, then we come to the point where God shows up at the burning bush and speaks to Moses and says, "Moses, I'm going to release you into this dream to do something about it." Now, he doesn't use those words. I'm paraphrasing here. But we could look at it that way. Moses, I've placed something inside of you. You have a passion. You have a heart to see your Hebrew brothers and sisters free of that, free of the bondage, free of the slavery, free of the injustice. And I'm going to send you to Pharaoh, and you're going to lead my people out of Egypt. And he gives Moses a dream. How is one man going to free a nation of slaves from what was probably the most powerful nation at the time in Egypt? How's one man going to do that? How's one leader going to be able to swing that? Well, remember, he's getting his marching orders from a God whose name is above all names. In the natural, we'd say, Moses, this is a pipe dream at best. Ain't no way it's going to happen, right? But with God, all things are possible. Amen? And God says, Moses, I'm raising you up. I'm sending you in. And my people are going to be free. And you're going to lead them out of there. And this dream is now crystallizing more in Moses' heart, right? And we know he goes back and he approaches Pharaoh. And he's like nearly laughed out of the place, right? And, you know, there's this back and forth with he and Pharaoh. And then there's the plagues, you know, and there's how many of them? Until finally, God manifests this dream in Moses' life. And they walk out of Egypt. And they walk out of that evil system. And they walk out of bondage. And they walk out of slavery. And God does what he said he was going to do. Now, that opens a whole nother set of issues. Because now Moses is leading a nation of effectively slaves, and they're free for the first time in their life. What's that look like? Yeah, we know it gets a little messy at times, doesn't it? But God gave Moses a dream, and he manifested that dream in Moses' life. He did what he said he would do. I have no idea where I am in my notes at this point. Yeah, I guess so. You know, I do have noted here, we see examples of this in modern history. You can think of somebody like Nelson Mandela that lived in an evil system where apartheid, which is legal racism, existed in South Africa. And do you think there was something that began to be birthed in Nelson Mandela as a young man going through school, eventually going to law school, and seeing how his brothers and sisters were treated and that weren't able to vote? And I mean, there's a litany of other things, of injustices. Do you think there was something that maybe was birthed in Nelson Mandela? And he actually was thrown in prison for nearly 30 years. But he had a dream. And at the right time, he was actually released from prison and installed as president of South Africa. Something that nobody would have thought of in his younger days, in his younger years. And he was installed as president. And this dream that he had as a young man is manifested in his life. Very similar to Moses' life as well. So again, I want us to be thinking in terms of Joseph. God gives him a dream. Long period of time passes, and then God does what he said he would do. Okay, I said we're going to get to Caleb. We're there. Caleb had a similar experience. As I said earlier, it was Caleb and Joseph who spied out the promised land, right? Who'd I say? Joseph. Yeah, right. No, sorry. Yeah. Oops. Sometimes Hollywood does that, you know. Anyway, Caleb and Joshua, you got the J right, spied out the promised land. They come back with this positive report, right? They have a dream from God. They have a promise from God. They have a word from the Lord, right? God says, I'm sending you in there. That's your inheritance. And again, Caleb is all on board with it because he's in relationship with a God whose name is above all names. And it looks impossible to you and me. And in the natural, we'd never try to do this, but God. But God. God said this, and I'm going to walk in his word. I'm going to trust him. I'm going to walk in faith. I'm not just going to sit here and say, oh yeah, God can take us into the promised land. And whenever he sends an angel to pick me up and take me in and drop me off, I'll possess my inheritance. No. This was a faith that Caleb had that said, we can go in right now and we can drive out the enemy. Amen? But the other 10 spies came back and had a negative report, swayed the hearts of the people. So Caleb is ready to possess his inheritance now. But because of decisions that other people made, it's a long time. It's a long, long time. Let's go to Joshua chapter 14. A lot of time has passed by now. Moses isn't with us anymore. Israel is starting to go in and possess the promised land. In Joshua 14, chapter 14, verse 6, it says, then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal. Joshua is in charge now at this point. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, you know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought back a word to him as it was in my heart. A positive report. We can do this. God is for us. Let's go in and possess it. Verse 8, nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. They had a negative report. Giants in the land, fortified cities. We look like grasshoppers. It's great. Too bad we can't have it. Made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, here I am this day, 85 years old. And yet, I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were great there. There's giants. And that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. 45 years has passed, right? He was 40 years old when he was ready to go in and possess it now. But he wasn't able to because of fear and doubt. But Moses prophesied over him and said, Caleb, you're going to have your inheritance. You're going to have Hebron. You're going to have that mountain. And time goes on. And time goes on. And Caleb wakes up every day and sees people that prevented him from walking in his destiny, that prevented him from possessing his inheritance. And I got to think, somehow he reconciled that within himself. And there had to be a spirit of forgiveness that he walked in. Otherwise, I think bitterness just would have ate him up. I mean, 45 years, he wakes up every day. And he sees the 10 spies that had the negative report that swayed the people. I mean, there had to be, God had to extend grace to help Caleb. 45 years. And now here's Caleb, 85 years old. He was ready when he was 40 years old. He's as ready now as he was back then. His faith is still at a level that says, my God has a name that's above all names. He could have done it back then. He can still do it now. Joshua, give me my inheritance. Give me that mountain. I must have Hebron. God is for me. I have as much strength today as I did back then. We'll go in, we'll drive out the inhabitants, and I'm going to possess my inheritance. Because he's a good God. Because he gave me a dream 45 years ago. And he can still do it today just as he could have done it back then. I don't care that 45 years has passed. My God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not going to turn his back on me. He's going to do in my life what he said he would do. Joshua, I need that mountain. I need my inheritance. Give me that mountain. Amen. He's got a Caleb dream. And Joshua gave it to him. And Caleb went in, and he displaced the inhabitants, just like God said he would. And Caleb possessed his inheritance. And the dream that God gave him many years ago manifested in Caleb's life. Isn't that awesome? Don't you love that man of faith? I don't care that I'm 85 years old. It's not my strength that's going to do it anyway. It's his strength through me. Amen? I just need to walk in faith. I just need to say yes and amen to what God said he wants to do in my life. I don't have to figure it all out. That's his job. He's got a much better plan than I could ever have anyway. Amen? If I will step into what God said he wants to do in my life, I believe he's going to do it. And I believe that we are in a season right now where God wants to manifest Caleb dreams in people's lives here at CLCC. I don't care if it's been years that you've been waiting on this dream to manifest. Be like Caleb and say, I'm just as strong now as I was then. Maybe not strong physical strength, but I'm strong in my faith that God is going to do what he said he would do. I'm strong in my faith because I believe that he has a name that's above all names. And this promise that he gave me years ago, he's able to manifest it now in my life. I know it's going to be a blessing to me. It's going to be a blessing to many others as well. Who's got a Caleb dream this morning? Who's got a Caleb dream? Amen. I see some hands. Yes. We are in a season where God wants to manifest that dream in your life. There's a convergence. This dream thing that Van opened up a couple weeks ago. And this faith thing. This Jesus, name above all names. It's converging right here. And God's going to manifest Caleb dream. We don't have to figure it out. We step into it. We do what he asks us to do. We walk by faith, not by sight. Right? I mean, can you imagine what maybe some of the responses were to Caleb back then? Caleb, what is this old dude saying? Caleb, you're 85 years old. Come on. Do you know what you're saying? He knew what he was saying. He absolutely knew what he was saying. Amen? And as he stepped out in that, he possessed the inheritance that God said he would have. Caleb dreams are manifesting. God's bringing about Caleb dreams. There's manifestations. Let's step into it by faith. If that applies to you, I just want you to stand to your feet. If you have a Caleb dream, stand to your feet. And I just want to release blessing over you as we get ready to close in prayer. Look at this. People all over the place. Yes. Have a promise from God. Have a word from God. Have a dream that God put in your heart years ago. Caleb dreams are being manifested. This is a season of manifestation of Caleb dreams. Yes, yes. Just lift your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, what you're stirring in us. Thank you for this convergence of dreams and faith and Jesus, the name above all names. Thank you for this season of you manifesting Caleb dreams in our midst. Lord, the promise that you gave us years ago, the word that you gave us years ago, in some cases, it's been decades. It was decades in Caleb's circumstance. But God, you're able. You're able. It doesn't depend on us. It depends on you. We simply exercise our faith. We say yes to you. We know that you're the name above all names. And so, Lord, I thank you for blessing that you're pouring out right now in Jesus' name. I thank you for provision. I thank you for healing. I thank you for your glory. I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your power. I thank you for your anointing that you're pouring out. I thank you that the resources of heaven are unleashed to manifest Caleb dreams in our midst right now in Jesus' name. I thank you for testimonies that you're developing, testimonies that you're building, testimonies that you're going to use for the glory of God, testimonies that you're going to use to bring others into your kingdom, testimonies that you're going to use to unleash and release others into their destiny, into the plans and purposes of God. I thank you for a multiplication of the Caleb dreams that you're bringing to pass and manifesting in our presence, Lord. We give you praise. We give you praise because you're worthy. Let's just lift up some praise and worship to him right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you're able. You're more than able. We say yes to the Caleb dreams being manifested in our lives. We say yes. Yes. Marty, please share. Here, let me give you this mic.
Well, the word that was really quickened to me as Pastor was preaching, he took me back to Exodus 15, and that's when the Israelites dealt with the Red Sea. And I looked at this promise, and it says, "How powerful is your God and mine?
Yes.
Thy right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, has dashed in pieces the enemy." The enemy said to them, "I'm going to pursue and overtake you. I'm going to divide the spoil." Ha ha. But one breath of God blew that sea wide open. I'm saying this morning, in this house, one breath of God, the mention of his name changes everything.
Yes, yes.
So let's not weaken in our faith, or let's not give up. Let's stand in faith and be ready to testify when you see him work.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen. Amen. Good word. Good word. Amen. And I do just want to remind us also of the prophetic that came, I think, 2 weeks ago. I think it was that Sunday that Pastor Van preached on dreams, where the word was, you're using a weed whacker to take down the tree. And the word was, put the weed whacker down, pick up the chainsaw, use the chainsaw to take down the tree. And if that tree is something that has been a hindrance, we have available to us a spiritual chainsaw, so to speak, right? Anything that's held us back, whatever it is, fill in the blank, doubt, fear, whatever, something that was spoken over us, lies, take that chainsaw and let's cut that tree down. Nothing's going to hold us back from going in and possessing our inheritance. Because he's the name above all names. He's the name above all names. And again, this takes, I'll get you in just a second, this takes an act of faith on our part. Caleb didn't sit there and say, yeah, God's going to give me my inheritance in the promised land. And when an angel comes here and picks me up and takes me in, then I'll be there. No. He gathered some soldiers, right? He went in there and he had to drive the inhabitants out, right? It took action. It took him doing something on his part. And so we need to have an active faith as well. Does this feel like it's touching on something? We're onto something here? We're hitting something? Yeah, I believe it. I believe it. And look, we have things that we want to see here. I mean, we want this thing up, right? And maybe in the natural we would say, oh gosh, we're never going to be able to do that. But God. But God. I believe he birthed a dream in us. In a practical thing, a very practical thing. I've had pastor friends that have said, Kurt, that ceiling in your sanctuary is oppressive. I've actually had friends that have said that, if in any way possible you can raise that thing, do it. Listen, he's able to do it. He's the name above all names. That's one practical way. But I mean, we could talk about sharing the gospel. We could talk about praying for healing. We could talk about 100 other things, right? God is manifesting Caleb dreams in this season as we partner with him. Amen? Amen. Let's just close in prayer. Father, we just thank you for what you're stirring in us this morning. I thank you that we've heard your word. I thank you that it has stirred our faith. We say yes and amen to everything that you want to do in our lives, Lord. We thank you that you are manifesting Caleb dreams in our midst. And we will be quick to share those testimonies with other Lord. So fill us with your Holy Spirit afresh and anew. Be with us as we go home. Pray safety over each one and that your blessing would be on each one here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Good seeing you today. You are dismissed.